Good morning and welcome to our communion service.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle, and welcome to all of you who are joining us today via YouTube Live. Welcome to you who are joining during Facebook Live. We're so glad to have you all here. And also for those who are joining via audio on our church conference line. Well, it is the first Sunday in June, and we're grateful that we've made it thus far. As is our custom at the Tabernacle, the first Sunday is our communion service. And so at this time, we're going to bring Jordan Ford, and he's going to be reading the Lord's Supper out of 1 Corinthians. Followed by that, we'll have Jackson Ford come, and we'll all recite our confession of faith. Then we'll have our prayer of consecration, and then move into the communion service. Jordan?
Good morning, good morning. Today I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 24. If you have it, you can read with me. And it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." Thank you.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you. In thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. That we may delight in your will. And walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to have our communion prayer. Please join me. Thank you, Father, for this precious time of reverent reflection on all that Christ did for us at Calvary. And as we partake of these hallowed symbols at this holy communion table, we humbly take this bread and bless it and break it and eat it in remembrance of you. For your own dear body was broken for us. May we continue to feed on you in our hearts by faith and with grateful thanks for this day forward. and may we walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus and live a life that is honoring to you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in grateful remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ achieved on Calvary's cross for all of us when he shed his precious blood on the cross to pay the enormous price of our sin and become a ransom for many. We share this cup of blessing in his name, remembering how he himself took the cup in the upper room as the hour of his crucifixion drew near and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, thank you for this holy sacrament, and may I never approach the communion table in an unworthy manner, knowing that as often as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until his coming again in great glory and majesty. We praise your holy name forever and ever. Amen.
So now I'm going to ask you, you and your home and those people who are gathered there with you, whatever you have set aside this Sunday for the communion to represent his broken body and to represent his shed blood, whether you have crackers, whether you have bread, if you like to break up your bread, whatever you have set aside, now is the time. Whatever you set aside to represent the wine, whether it's apple juice, grape juice, whatever it may be. Now, if you could bring those things in front of your family, because now we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper, okay? So if you have what you need, go ahead and let's take your symbol for his bread, for his body, the bread, your crackers, whatever it may be. Do you have that? Just going to ask that you take it up and lift it up. Jesus told his disciples that this bread represented his broken body. Scripture says he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it around the table to his disciples. And he said to them, "Eat ye all of it, and I tell you to do the same." After that, he took the cup of thanksgiving, the cup of wine, and he told his disciples that this wine represented his shed blood and was the symbol of the new covenant between God and man. He took a sip and he passed it to his disciples and told and asked of them, "Drink ye all of it." Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We gather this morning around the Lord's table. We thank you for the great sacrifice of both your body and your shed blood. We thank you for dying for our sins, by which we have received forgiveness for all those that repent. And so we love you today, Lord, for what you have done for us. Because what you have done for us, we could not have done for ourselves. And so we honor you and we obey you by keeping this ordinance of the Holy Communion until we do it again in heaven, in glory with you and in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Bless us and keep us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So thank you all for participating in our communion service. At this time, we're going to prepare for the Word of God. This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 47 through 50. begin Matthew, the 26th chapter, beginning at verse 47. We're also going to add to the witness out of the Old Testament from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. So I'll give you a moment to grab those passages in your Bible before reading them. I just had a couple of announcements or things to say. First, I wanted to thank all of our young people and young adults who participated in the Friday night Zoom call. What a great discussion we had. And I really want to thank all you guys for just being open and honest and sharing with me, sharing with all the adults that were on the line, just how you are feeling and how you are reacting to the events of the past week. Really appreciate your insight and some of your great suggestions. Also, I want to mention we have many, but I do want to highlight two particular praise reports. Both Sister Barbara and Deaconess Rochelle Scott both came home on Thursday and Friday from the hospital. And so we are grateful for their recovery. We thank God for their healing. Sister Barbara and Sister Rochelle are both now resting comfortably at home. So let's thank God for them. Also, as I mentioned on Friday night at the end of our Zoom call, today at 1 o'clock, all men of faith are invited to gather with at Bryant Elementary School. We will gather there at 1 to walk the neighborhood, to assess the damage, and to begin to develop a plan to restore and refurbish our community. So again, I got a couple texts back already. A couple guys are already planning on heading down and meeting me there. But again, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, Bryant Elementary School, 61st and Cedar Avenue, we're going to gather in the parking lot, receive some instruction, and then we're going to head out. We're going to walk the neighborhood. There'll be religious leaders from all faiths. I believe some of our political representatives will be there as well. Business owners will be there as well, residents as well. And again, we're just going to walk the neighborhood. We realize we do have a commercial corridor right there, 60th Street. So come and be with us, be a part of that. Let's put our heads together and use wisdom and be a part of the solution to what is happening in our country today. Okay? So again, I just want to mention that. Okay? So if you have your Bibles, again, Matthew 26, 47, Isaiah 53 and 5, this morning I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, so that might be a little different than what you maybe have, but feel free to follow along. Matthew 26, 47, and even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss." So Judas came straight to Jesus, saying, "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. And Jesus said, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for." And then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. We're just going to add to the witness out of the book of Isaiah, out of the Old Testament, very familiar passage, Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This morning, I want to talk from the subject of another case of police brutality. Another case of police brutality. The death of George Floyd. Oh, before that, I want to have a word of prayer. A word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Thank you for this, your people gathered here via the internet in your name and guided by your presence. Lord, give me the words to say. Let your words fill my heart. Let them be the utterance of my mouth. Cause your word to go forth as a sure arrow and find the place that you have intended for it to land. Thank you for your word. Give us grace in this hour and at this time. In Christ's name and for his sake, amen. The death of George Floyd and others, along with the protests which have happened across our city and nation, has once again shook and reminded us all of the ills of racism and the often unfair treatment of blacks and other minorities by law enforcement agencies, judicial systems, and penal systems. This morning, however, I would like for you to remember another case of police brutality, which occurred on the same night which Jesus took bread and blessed it. And on the same night that he also took a cup of wine and shared it with his disciples, shortly thereafter, Jesus Christ suffered police brutality. I'm going to draw your attention back to Matthew 26 and 47. And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of his 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. Just want you to know that this crowd of men was in fact the Jewish temple guard or temple police. The Jews had enacted a law enforcement group to monitor and maintain order at the temple compound in Jerusalem. Now, this police force, or temple guard, if you will, was sent out under the instruction and order of the high priest, following Judas's lead, because Judas knew where Jesus was. They would follow Judas to find Jesus so that they might arrest him. Picking up, it said, and they had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people, and the traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal, said, you will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Verse 49, Judas came straight to Jesus saying, greetings, Rabbi. He exclaimed this and then gave him the kiss. And Jesus said, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come here for. Then the others, referring to the temple guard, the temple police, grabbed Jesus and arrested him. And here we have recorded for us in the canon how Jesus is falsely arrested by the Jewish temple police. And these groups not only come and falsely arrest him, they also come armed with weapons. Jesus, throughout his ministry, was known as a peaceful preacher. He was known throughout his ministry as a humble humanitarian. But yet this police force, this law enforcement agency from the temple comes to arrest him and to bring him into confinement. And not only do they arrest him, I want you to note that they come armed for violence. The Bible said that they arrived with swords and with clubs, which were the weapons of Jesus's day. And here, the calm carpenter's son is set upon by men with weapons who are ready for violence. I'm going to ask you to move further down into the story. Matthew 26 chapter, I'm just going to read verses 59 through 66. And inside the chief priest's house, it says, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so that they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Says, then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. And then the high priest said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are in fact the Messiah, the Son of God." To this, Jesus replied, "You have said it. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest tore off his clothing to show his horror. And he said, "This is blasphemy. Why do we need any other witnesses? You have all heard this blasphemy. What is your verdict?" And all of the men of the Sanhedrin shouted, "Guilty, he deserves to die." Out of this passage, we find that Jesus is now falsely accused, tried, and sentenced by the Jewish Sanhedrin. If ever there was a kangaroo court, this was it. The high priest and the leading rulers of the synagogue had already predetermined to find him guilty. The system was set against Jesus. And those of us who live here in America, we know what it is to go up against a system that oftentimes is already set against us. Oftentimes our judgment has already been predetermined. I'm going to ask you to keep tracking with me. I'm now going to read right after that, Matthew 26, verses 67 and 68. And then they began to spit in Jesus' face. And then they also began to beat him with their fists. And some even slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy unto us, Messiah, who is hitting you in your face?" Not only was Jesus falsely arrested, not only was he falsely accused, tried, and sentenced, but now Jesus begins to suffer police brutality. Notice what the scripture says. They started out by spitting in his face. Not only was he being falsely accused and tried, now they are humiliating him by spitting in his face. And if that were not enough, then they begin to ball up their fists. And now they begin to punch him all over his body, in doing so causing great pain and anguish. And if the spitting were not enough, and if the punching were not enough, now we see the coming of an open-handed slap, inflicting cruel and unnecessary punishment. Jesus, like many of us, if we were to tell our own personal stories, Jesus, like us, is now suffering police brutality. Turn with me into the next chapter, Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 26. It says, "Very early in the morning, the leading priests and the elders of the people met again to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. And then they bound him. They led him away and they took him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And so Pilate released Barabbas to them, but he ordered Jesus flogged or scourged with a lead-tipped whip and then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified." I want to draw your attention to the fact that Pilate had him scourged. To be scourged, here's a little background on the scourging of biblical times. It says the whip used for scourging consisted of several strands of leather attached to a wooden handle.
Each strand had a bit of metal or bone attached to the end. The victim was bound to a post by their wrist with their hands high above their head, so that the flesh of their back was taut. Then they were whipped. Scourging alone was often a fatal outcome in many cases. By this text, we now see that Jesus continues to not only suffer police brutality, but now he is suffering from government brutality. I didn't pull it out, but through this, in the presence of Pontius Pilate, he often told the Jewish crowd that I find no fault in him. After having questioned him in the Praetorium, after having sending him to Herod to also have him examined, Pontius Pilate continued to say, I find no fault in him. But because of political power, because of a power play by the Jewish religious leaders of the day, representing those that were in charge and those that were in authority, they now put peer pressure on Pontius Pilate, so much so that he has Jesus scourged and flogged. An innocent man, a man who has not, by his own examination, found to be done anything wrong, yet Pontius Pilate agreed to partner with the powers of the day to have Jesus whipped and flogged. Jesus now suffers police and government brutality. Going down Matthew 27, verse 29 through 30, says of the Roman soldiers, they then wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. They placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. And then they knelt before him, mocking and taunting him by saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him and grabbed the stick out of his hand. They took it and they struck him over his head with it. And when they were finally tired of mocking him and jeering him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes again, and then they led him away to be crucified. Here we find Jesus suffering further brutality and humiliation. All Jesus ever did was help, never hurt. All Jesus did was heal, he never humiliated. All he ever did throughout his ministry was encourage and lift up. He never degraded or tried to destroy. But in spite of his peaceful manner, in spite of his law-abiding manner, he yet became a victim of police brutality. Even though he himself was a peaceful man, the system was still set against him. Even though he was a humble man, yet the government forces and the political and powers that be came against him for his own demise. And so we have, church, another case of police brutality. Now, Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 45 through 50. I hope you're tracking with me. It says there that at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. And at about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. Jesus suffers not only brutality, but ultimately fatality by crucifixion. The songwriter says in his song that they hung him high and they stretched him wide, so that we can all see how free our Lord could die. Here, an innocent man has not only suffered brutality, but now they have gone forward and committed fatality. They have murdered the Son of God. And Jesus has, I don't want to call him a victim because he's not the victim, but he has endured brutality. He has suffered fatality, and it is the system that has been set against him. But might I remind you, church, but unlike other cases of police brutality or even police fatality, there was something different about when Jesus died. Might I draw your attention to Matthew 27, verses 51 through 54. And it says, at that moment, that the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two, from the top down to the bottom. And at that same time, the record records that the earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs were opened, and bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. And they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection. And they went all throughout the holy city of Jerusalem. And they appeared to many people. Verse 54, then the Roman officer and those who were also with him, that at the crucifixion they were terrified when they saw the earthquake and all that had begun to happen. And they said, this man truly was the Son of God. Listen, here it is, church. When Jesus suffered police brutality, might I remind you what the prophet said? He was wounded for our transgression. When Jesus was beaten and spat upon, might I remind you, he was bruised for our iniquity. When Jesus was crucified from the 12 to 3 o'clock hour, might I remind you, it was the chastisement of our peace that was being laid upon him. And when Jesus was scourged with 39 lashes, it was by those stripes that we have and continue to be healed. Somebody in the church say yeah. But despite of it all, I'm glad that Jesus died. Wait a minute, Pastor. How can you say that? How can you take that position after you have just gone through his brutality and his humiliation, his suffering and his crucifixion? How can you say you're glad that he died? Let me answer the question, because when Jesus died, he paid the price for your sins. When Jesus died, he paid the price for my sins. And we all now have a right to the tree of life for all of those that believe in his name. And so I'm with you today, church. I'm with you today, community. I'm with you today, young people. I'm with you today, Black America. We do have to fight. We do have to protest. We do have to demand our equal treatment under the law. We do have to stand and get the knees off of our neck. But might I remind you, there was another case of police brutality, and it brought for us something far greater, because when Christ died, he paid the price for you and I. When Christ died, demons had to flee. When Christ died, we were saved from the penalty of sin. And now we all have life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Say yes. So I remind you, I remind ourselves that while we fight for social reform, social justice, equal treatment under the law, economic parity, I just want to remind us all to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Because when this is all over, Christ is coming again. And all of those that have believed in his name, all of those who by faith have participated in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. One day when he comes again, we'll meet Jesus Christ in the air. The body of Christ will be raptured up to live with Christ in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And so as I close today, we must fight. We must fight for the fatherless. We must fight. We must give voice to the voiceless. We must remember the widows, the orphan. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. There'll always be opportunity for ministry. There'll always be opportunities for us to cry out justice in our own land. And let us use our faith. And let us use the wisdom that God gives from above to fight in such a way that with the help of God himself, we can bring about real and lasting change. This is our call today. This is our challenge today as a church, as a community, and as a country, and as a civilization to now make efforts and strides to become the humanity that God envisioned when he created us out of the dust of the ground. And that is our call. That is our challenge. That is what we must do. That is what we have to do. And so I want to take this time at the close of the sermon. If you're joining us this Sunday and you have not accepted Christ, you're joining us this Sunday and you were not aware of the brutality that Jesus suffered. If you're joining us via the internet this Sunday, or if you're dialing in over the church conference line, and you never realized that Christ suffered a fatality by crucifixion, and that he did it all for you and I, won't you do it today? Won't you accept Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart? Pastor, how do I do it? How do I accept what he has done for me? By praying this simple prayer, repeating after me, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Today I repent of them and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. If you pray that simple prayer, your sins have been forgiven, and you have been begotten by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are no longer your own, but now you have been adopted into the royal family of God. And if you have done that, I want you to reach out to me today. You're already online. Please go to our website, TaylorTabernacle.com. Please send me a message. Use the contact button. Say, Pastor Ford, I heard the message. I've all week long, I've been watching cases of police brutality on my feed and on my timeline, but I never knew that Christ also suffered brutality and fatality for me. Thank you for sharing, Pastor. And at the preaching of your word, I receive Christ Jesus. Connect with us. Get online, send us an email, call the church number. It's all there on the website. We want to connect with you. We want you to be a part of the Taylor Tabernacle family and that we can grow together in Christ and in grace, even as a nation, as we prepare to engage in a long overdue battle. So I'm with you, church. I'm praying with you and I'm praying for you. And at this time, we're going to go from, I believe our offering is coming up next. So I'm going to have my wife come. Jermaine's coming, the first lady. You want to prepare yourself to give. I thank you, church. I really do. I thank those that are part of our church. I thank those that have not, who are not a part of our church, for your giving over the past few weeks while we've been under this lockdown from the health emergency. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your sowing. And at this time, here she is, my wife, the First Lady Jemai Samuels.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. This morning, you can worship through giving in one of three ways. And I believe that on the screen, you will have for your viewing everything that I am discussing. You can give either by text or our website at www.taylortabernacle.com/giving or mailing your check or money order. To give by texting, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. That's 73256. You will receive a link and instructions after you do so. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. You can also give by U.S. mail, and if you do so, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. As always, we thank you for your continued support of this ministry. I'm going to move on to announcements. We will continue to have virtual services for the entire month of June. So as the state of Pennsylvania, and more specifically our section, moves from the state of yellow and then hopefully soon green, we will still remain in a state of virtual services. Any plans to move to face-to-face services will be announced at a later time. Next Sunday, June 14th, Reverend Norman Lyons will be preaching and his family hosting services. Sunday, June 21st is Father's Day. Yay, Father's Day. Pastor Ford will be preaching and our family, the Ford family, will be hosting. On June 28th, Brother Khalil McFarland will be preaching and his family will be hosting. Our Friday night prayer and Bible service will resume this Friday at 7:30 via the church conference line, which is 775-799-9141. And we will begin our series of the one chapter books in the Bible. On Friday, June 26th at 7:30, we will have another Zoom conference call hosted by our Young Life Experience. We had one just this past Friday, and it was quite enlightening and refreshing to gather together and to discuss some of the socio-political turmoil that our country is in and what position we can take. And that was led by our the members of our Young Life Experience, who quite frankly are the leaders of tomorrow, and they are stepping up today. So that's on Friday, June 26th at 7:30. We're going to have, again, another Zoom call. The pastor's asking youth to check in and to participate. Parents, we will need your help to ensure that this is another successful discussion. Finally, remember to hit subscribe right there on YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, at Taylor Tabernacle, so you can remain informed and up to date about all our upcoming gatherings and dates. Remember, please join us again next Sunday at 10 a.m. with the Lyons family, and I forgot, I have one more announcement. This is specifically to the women of worth. Ladies, I've been meaning to reach out to you. Some of you have touched base with me individually about our planned trip to the Sight and Sound Theater to see the Queen Esther production.
Sight and Sound Theater is still closed to showings or to their production. It's still closed down, even though that area, the Lancaster area, is and has been in yellow for a while. The Sight and Sound Theater, because of its size, has remained closed. As a result, our planned trip for June 13th, which is this next Saturday, has been canceled, and we will be receiving a full refund. The refunds have not yet been processed. I expect they'll do so toward the end of the month. As I receive updates regarding the refund, I will contact you probably via email. So that is our final announcement. Again, please join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. where the Lyons family will be hosting. Amen.
Okay, we'll have our benediction. Again, thank you all for joining us. Thank you for participating in the communion service this morning. Again, thank you for just being a faithful church. Thank you for being an alert and aware church. Just on that note, a reminder, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be down at Bryant Elementary School, again, asking all the men to come out. Join with me, join with the other men throughout all parts of our community as we walk the neighborhood, assess the damage, and then really begin to strategize what we can do and how to best do it as we go about the business of rebuilding and restoring our community. Okay, so I look forward to seeing you there. So if all minds are clear, we'll close with prayer. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for this another day that you have given us. We thank you for this time we have spent around your table and around your word. Father, I pray that your word would find a resting place in each and every heart. Ask that you would go with us, stand by us, fight for us, stand up strong in the life of believers everywhere. Mm. And above all, Christ, give us the victory as we fight in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
This we ask in all other blessings. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Taylor. We'll see you next Sunday.